Hey there, everyone. Today, I am starting the show by sharing a gift I was given. I'm going to explain it to you in a minute, but just take a listen right now, because I'm not kidding. This is the balm that heals. Ready? Here we go.
You can feel it in your heart, feel it in your soul. Everybody's got a little something, something that makes them feel gold. Feel it in your morning, but it won't last. Everybody's got a little something, something that's in their past. 'Cause you'll never know what someone else is going through. Can we look at each other and remember that I am you? Can we live for each other, love one another, stand together in the light? Can we live for each other, love one another, stand together in the light? You can feel it in your body and know it in your mind. Everybody's got a little something to offer to humankind. Everybody's got a little something, so remember to always be kind.
Okay, so that great musical theme you just heard, bit of composed of none other than the uber talented, beautiful, India Ari.
Thank you.
Yay! Thank you for that.
Pleasure's all mine.
Oh,
because you know when they called and asked if I would do it,
mm-hmm.
I was like, "Who said? Oh, Robin. Yes." It was like, "Yeah," because they know I take a long time to make decisions because I weigh everything.
Right.
But when I heard Robin, I was like, "Yeah, tell her, say yeah." Well, what's that, it gonna be? I'm like, "I'm gonna figure something out. It's Robin."
Well, see, that's just it. You just, how do you go about that process? How do you figure it out?
The short answer is, music for me is a spiritual work, and so I tap in and trust what I hear. Because that's really what songwriting is, because you can always try to make something that people are going to like, but the goal really is to just do what you hear, and whoever likes it, likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't ever make everybody like anything. But if you know who you're making it for, you want them to like it. So that you are pleased with your theme song, I'm happy.
I'm very happy. I'm very happy.
Thank you.
It's so good to see you again. Now, India composing songs for me, and even with me, well, you could say it's part of the history of our friendship. Because one day, on Good Morning America, I received a challenge to write a song. And India was my go-to singer-songwriter to help me do this thing I'd never done before. Together we wrote Beautiful Day. It's a song that is, well, it's just pure joy. It perfectly describes my approach to life. And so, when we got together for this podcast, it was like two old friends picking up right where we left off. Take a listen.
I remember when we sat down that first time, and a beautiful day. Life is a journey.
Not a destination. There's a cool stakes.
Just chances we've taken.
Hey,
lay down your regrets.
Because all we have is now.
Yeah. Well.
Sing
that song.
Sing.
Notice I was like, I was backing off the mic there.
You did good.
I let you lean in, and I backed off.
You did good, though.
A little bit.
You did good, though.
I have to say to you, I'm in awe of you in many ways. And you really humbled me when you reached out and you said, Robin, you inspire me. I am here sitting across from you to say, back at you tenfold.
Mm.
Back at you tenfold. Mm. Your music has helped me and countless others get back on the path to our journey.
Mm.
How do you decide to write what you write?
So I'm just going to jump in. Forget, I might not even have this right, but I'm going to tell you what I feel. Because I know your podcast is called Everybody's Got Something. And I write about my somethings, like the things I go through. And one of the only critiques I get about my music is that it's too positive, but I'm always explaining to people, I choose to write about what I learn from a lesson instead of the going through it. I choose to write about what I learn because I believe in the power of words. I believe in the power of music. When you set lyrics to a melody and a rhythm, you hypnotize people. I don't mean to use that word loosely, but you get into their subconscious mind. And so I decided if I'm going to use the power of music consciously, I want to elevate people.
That's right. What she said, elevate people. That's India Arie, truth teller, singer-songwriter, and my special guest today. I'm Robin Roberts. What you just heard India sing about, then talk about, I got to tell you, it's the essence of my podcast, Everybody's Got Something, a phrase my dear mama used to say. I love that expression because everybody, and I'm talking everybody, faces a life challenge at some point or another. And you see, it's those very times when we find incredible resources of courage, wisdom, and inner strength, uncovering and discovering the best of ourselves, no matter what life hands us. But first, before we get into India's story, I want to share with you why I'm so incredibly pleased this podcast is sponsored by Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. This hospital helped save my life, and I'm enormously grateful they've come on board to support Everybody's Got Something. You have no idea what that means to me. So here's my good friend Linda Lopez to tell us more. Hey there, Linda.
Every patient who walks through the doors of Memorial Sloan Kettering brings with them a unique story, circumstance, and form of cancer. And Memorial Sloan Kettering gives each and every patient the most personalized options for their situation, ensuring that everyone not only gets the right treatment, but the only treatment right for them. More science, less fear. Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Learn more at mskcc.org/morescience.
So, the beautiful India Arie, who is my guest today, well, there was a time when she was really, and I do mean really, struggling. Because despite winning many Grammy Awards and finding success in the music industry, the only way she knew to heal herself was to drop out of sight, which she did, for 4 long years, risking her career in search of, I don't know, would you say, inner truth, sanity? A greater purpose? How about all those things? And when you're in that kind of personal crisis, sometimes your body just sends you a message. I'll let India explain.
So I went through my own healing crisis, but during my 4-year hiatus, I went through my own healing crisis, and I didn't know what it was. I just looked really, really sick. And they were testing me for everything. They thought maybe it was lupus, but you know, lupus is like a umbrella term for autoimmune stuff. And in hindsight, I realized now that it was about my immune system, but it was more that it was just off balance. It wasn't in dis-ease like that. It was just off balance, but I had to figure all that out.
Mm. I want to find out ultimately what you learned, how you were able to turn around what some people might look at a breakdown that it was your breakthrough.
Mm.
What did you learn?
What I learned spiritually from that situation was that I was living a life thinking that I had to accomplish something or be something to be worthy of being loved or worthy of being alive. I had to please people and make them, you had to be liked. And I thought that that is what made me worthy of being alive, period, and worthy of being liked and worthy of being loved. I thought it was my gifts. And I had to go through all that to learn that I'm worthy because I'm alive, period. Everyone's worthy because they're alive. But you don't know that unless you tell yourself, because the world's going to tell you something different. Mm-hmm. The world's always going to, and you might, if you're blessed, you have parents that tell you, but then your parents also say, hey, pull up your pants. And you know what I mean? There's that stuff too, because they're your parents. But you have to tell yourself that I'm worthy and I'm significant and I matter because I exist, period. But I had to teach myself that. But getting sick is why I had to teach myself that.
But you taught yourself that. See, often I've often said, you know, everybody's got something, and we all have loss and heartbreak.
Mm.
But the tragedy is if we don't take time to understand the meaning and the purpose.
That is the tragedy.
Yeah, that's the tragedy.
When you don't learn your lesson.
Right, not the scars, not the blisters. No. That's not the tragedy.
That's
but
right.
If you didn't take the time, you have your back.
Thank you.
I see it in your beautiful eyes.
Thank you.
And it hurt my soul when I didn't see that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you for being hurt for me.
Yeah, I was hurt for you.
Thank you.
And you were wise enough
to step back. Despite all the awards, millions of albums sold, the love and adoration, you knew that you were broken.
Yeah, oh yeah. There's no denying that.
And you step back.
It's funny, my brother says that too. Like, my family calls me Indy. My brother always says, he says things like this to me a lot, like, Indy, you strong, or Indy, that is courageous, or Indy, you just tell people what you think. And I always tell him, I don't know if I'm strong or courageous or any of those things. I feel like I just have to. If you can call it courageous, then I'll take that too. But when I was broken, I knew no one was going to be able to put me back together but me. Like, there's a certain point where your parents can't do it, or it's you. You're responsible for yourself. And I didn't want to die. I didn't want to die. Like, I felt like I was in danger of dying.
Really?
It wasn't like that. Like, I'm talking to a person who's been through, who's really faced their mortality, and I don't mean it that way, but I felt like I was facing my mortality in the way that my life force was burnt, a glowing ember. Like, it was just like barely nothing left. I knew I couldn't live that way. I couldn't live that way. What was I going to do? And I do know that, but what I know now is that a lot of people self-medicate with all kind of things.
Right.
All kind of things. Food, prescription meds. The prescription med thing is crazy right now. And I, instead of self-medicating, I worked to truly, I did the work to really actually heal myself. And in hindsight, I realized that is courageous. At the time, it just felt like survival, like,
survival.
I'm just trying to survive.
Well, thank you, because I think, and I've talked to other people who've gone, walked the journey that I have with cancer, and it seems like as soon as you, they label, courageous, you're brave, and you're like, really?
If I had a choice, I wouldn't be doing none of this.
Yes. Yeah. But deep down, I know that we've got that strength that we don't know it's there.
Until you know.
You don't know until you know, and you get through it, and you try and share that lesson with others. And that's what you're talking about, how you learn, not just for yourself, but to share that. And when I think of your music, and yes, it is uplifting, but hey.
If you listen deeper, you'll hear this stuff in between the lines.
There's a social, sometimes political consciousness there. Mm-hmm. And as we're sitting down here today, back-to-back days, black men have been killed by police officers.
Yep.
And we have seen the video.
Yep.
Even the one where the girlfriend actually live streaming on Facebook.
The aftermath of it.
And because you're so aware of what is going on, how do you help?
I wrote a song. I'm working on another album. It's called Worthy.
I know.
You know about Worthy? Yeah. And so there's a song on there called Breathe because of the I Can't Breathe movement. And breath is like, well, that's when you know you're alive, you know? And so I wrote this song called Breathe. And sadly, it's continuing to be relevant.
Of course, the I Can't Breathe movement came about after Eric Garner's death, when he was placed in a chokehold by the police. And several artists have rallied around that. And since then, tensions have risen even higher with the killings of police officers in Dallas and other cities. Here's a bit of India's contribution, Breathe, sung with a chorus.
Continue to breathe.
In times like these, that's what your heart is for.
Continue to breathe.
In honor of your brother, that's what your heart is for.
What is your message for those who feel disenfranchised and saying, Black lives don't matter?
What is my message? I think the fundamental truth beneath all the subject matter in my music, like the bottom line of it always is, this is hard to explain. I call it the oneness, because we are one humanity, is what we are. And so we're all in this world, in this life together, and we're having these experiences together. But when I really think about, for me, gosh, this is going to sound so idealistic, but I am idealistic. For me, the best way you can address oneness begins with a prayer, because then that's how you know how you personally should move. We can all go out into the streets and be mad, but that might not be what you're supposed to do. maybe it is what you're supposed to do, but people take action so fast about things from a place of just passion. But there's also the other part of you. There's your soul and your intellect. And you have to check in with yourself to figure out what you are meant to do inside of this situation. And for me, that's when you ask me why I write what I write about.
Right.
That's why. Because I feel like that's what I do. I speak to the subconscious mind through music, and I'm careful, specific about what I sing about because I want to help people reach their highest self with my music.
You know, I'm not the first one to tell India how much she empowers people with her music. But when I said that in our interview, she said something in return that, well, it meant a lot to me. Not just because it was a beautiful compliment, but because it's part of what I'm trying to explore in this podcast.
I like your optimism and the upbeat nature and all that too. But what I really am inspired by is your vulnerability. But then to see you be able to let people into your life and open up yourself like that just made me feel like I love a person who can be strong and vulnerable because it's hard to do. And I think that a lot of times people only get there when life breaks them open. You know what I mean? But people who have gone through something and they're working it out in front of people. Like, I can't even barely talk about it. It's my heart feel. I love the way that, I always remember the way that you make me feel when I'm around you, because in the entertainment world, a lot of people aren't like that.
Well, that means so much. And my mama and daddy are smiling above, because that's all they want. That's all they've ever wanted from.
For you to be whole.
Yes. And when you mention the word vulnerability, that, you know, people see us. I mean, we are blessed, but we have hurt. We have felt pain. Mm-hmm. It's you're not immune.
That's right.
Whether you have money or you have fame.
That's right.
What equalizes.
And fame is actually an odd human experience. It's unnatural for me. It feels unnatural. So it's like you hurt. That hurts too. It's not just like that's amazing and then you hurt fame. It's like it's weird. It's weird. It makes your relationships weird. It makes you have to look at different things in yourself. You hear what people really think about you when you're a celebrity.
Yeah. And are you getting better? Because I know, like, when people come after you on Twitter or something.
Oh, you know.
Come on.
I healed myself of that.
Please.
I wrote these essays. I wrote, it's probably a 7-part essay because I love to write. And also, like, we were talking about expressing all the parts of yourself because you need to.
Okay. I just want to explain what's being alluded to here. You see, in 2013, India had a comeback album after her time off. It's called Songversation. We're going to get to what that's about in a bit. Just know that it is gorgeous. And on the cover, equally gorgeous, is a picture of India. But the response to that photo, well, it wasn't exactly the welcome back she expected after her 4-year hiatus.
Coming back out of it, the first thing that happened was this scandal where I was accused of intentionally lightening my skin, which is against everything that I stand for.
Okay, if you're like me right now, you gotta be shaking your head. I mean, come on. Lightening her skin? India? India Ari? So these essays she's speaking about, they were written in response to that accusation because she was deeply, profoundly hurt. And I'm not kidding. You have to go check out this writing on her website. It's like a blueprint for learning how to love yourself. So here's my point. India used the experience of public humiliation, false accusations, and all the sadness and anger that went with that to find a deeper understanding of herself and to speak out.
It was like, well, sometimes you just have to say things and you can't hold everything in. You can't make everybody like, you can't always be diplomatic. Sometimes you have to say things. You know, writing is an exploration. You don't always know what you're going to say. And so I was able to dig deep into myself and look at myself and also say things that I needed to say.
Good. And here's what she discovered in the process of writing.
I know my truth. I know who I am. I know what I do. And another thing that healed me too was my presence squashed all of it. Like once I was back with everyone, I was singing again. I was on TV. It was like, oh, our queen is back. Our sister. We love her. And like, I was cool. As long as my reputation, because it's something that has been hard won for me is my reputation. Mm-hmm. Every song, every dress I've worn, every dress I haven't worn, everything I've said on TV, my walk has been very specific. And I've sacrificed a lot for my walk. And knowing that I've done that, I love the idea of knowing that people still could see me and they could see me. They just had to see me again.
Right.
to know, like, no, I did not bleach my skin.
I mean, of all people to accuse that of.
And that's when I knew it was God. I'm like, God is just giving me a chance to grow.
Yeah.
Because that just was ridiculous.
It was.
Of all people,
it was.
Me?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
But also, a thing that I never predicted, it gave me a chance to show people more of who I am. So I ended up getting invited to speak more. I did Super Soul Sessions with Oprah based on those essays. Did you see it?
Oh, yes. Preach.
Oh, you shot.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
For people who can't see me, I'm raising my hand now like I'm in church.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
But you know, most of us don't travel that healing journey alone. And India, she found a friend who walked the walk and talked the talk. A woman who has inspired so many of us.
Dr. Maya Angelou. Mm, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how much you remind me of her, because every time I'm in your presence, it's something
I remind
that
you know,
yeah, because
oh,
something
my
that
heart.
Something that she wrote. I don't always remember, India, what we said. I don't always remember what we did.
You remember how people make you
I
feel.
I remember how you make me feel. Mm. I remember how I feel when I have been in your presence,
because Maya Angelou, she was my hero. She was my hero. And it took me a long time to figure out who my hero was. It was like a couple of weeks. I thought about it every day for a couple of weeks. And I was like, oh, it's Maya Angelou. And she was my hero because she was so authentic. She walked in the room and she was the embodiment of truth.
And then to know that you reached out to her.
Oh, yeah.
You reached out.
Thank you for saying
that. Yeah, in your darkest moment.
When things like that skin bleaching allegation made me dig into myself. And, you know, and so Maya is the reason why I knew that that was possible. Like, there, so it's possible to be strong like that. It's possible to be authentic. It's possible to be, to have a deep voice and have ethnic features and have people still look at you and think that you're beautiful. It's possible to be a poet and a singer and a dancer. You could do all these things and you can make history. Like, it's possible. And she was just my hero.
I know, didn't you ask her, when was the last time
that's
she
what
didn't,
she asked me.
Right.
I asked her, when was the last time you felt unempowered?
And what it, after a long, long,
long, it's a long
pause.
Time. If we pause for 5 seconds on this radio, it would sound really long. She paused for like, it was like 60, for real. It was like 60 seconds, for
wow.
real. Excuse my spitting.
I spit no, that's okay.
I'm getting passionate. I spit around here. For real.
For real. Okay, so 60, and then what did she say?
She said, never.
How do you respond? I mean, never. She's never.
Never. So yeah, she said that. She said a lot of other things too. She said, just tell the truth. But she said it in Maya Angelou fashion. She said, just tell the truth. I've risked everything to just tell the truth. And I was like, yeah. Like, it's so simple, but not.
So simple,
not
but
easy.
Yeah, but so hard. So hard to do.
It's easy once you start doing it.
Yeah.
It gets addictive.
Yeah, it does.
But hasn't India always been telling the truth? Isn't that what made us perk up when we first heard her lyrics and think, yes, yes, India's singing straight from the heart? And so hearing her talk about learning to tell a deeper truth made me wonder, how does a person's authenticity evolve? How does a sense of self grow? I asked India about that.
Let's go back. Acoustic Soul.
Yeah.
Video. I'm not the average girl from your video. And I ain't built like a supermodel. But I learned to love myself unconditionally because I am a queen.
So cool hearing you say that.
Oh, I remember where I was and I heard that.
Really?
And I was like, thank you. Thank you for it was like you were speaking for so many of us and saying, no, I'm not that girl. Because do I look like I'm in that video? No.
No.
You know, no, I'm not a supermodel.
That's
I'm tall and all that, but I'm not a supermodel.
That's right.
You know, but the way you were able to just speak for a generation of us, what was it when you were putting those lyrics together, and it, words are so powerful. And I listen to your lyrics, Indy. I listen to your lyrics.
Thank you for saying that. I just have to say this really quick. Something's happening over the last 3 years since my hiatus and coming back and growing into myself. I'm able to hear people, because if somebody would say like that before, I'd be like, oh, no. Oh, me? Oh, gosh. But now I can just say thank you. And I hear it. I hear a lot of amazing stories about my music and people's lives. And I'm able to say thank you. And by being able to say thank you, I'm able to see that the prayer I prayed for my music and my impact, the possibility of the impact of my music in the world, that prayer already happened. It already happened. Mm. And I'm still going. And that's one of the things that has empowered me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, wait, it's working. This is working. I don't care what y'all say. This is working. I'm going to keep doing this.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask you. When I just said those lyrics to you, you know, think about what did they mean to you then, 15 years ago? And what do they mean to you now?
That song came out of a lot of pain. Like, you know, when you're a teenager, kids are cruel.
Yeah.
We're cruel to each other. We're cruel and we're very sensitive when we're young like that. And so I was always ridiculed mercilessly, like, for real. Like, just, I'm not even using these words in a haphazard manner. I'm being intentional. I was mercilessly ridiculed by people for lots of things. My voice being deep, or my mother was a fashion designer, so I had different, even though kids would find anything. So my mother was a fashion designer, so I had like all these different clothes, but to them they were ugly, right? And so I would get teased about my clothes. I had really bad skin. I would get teased about my skin or my hair. I'd get teased about my hair. Like, you know, like people were always all over me about something, and it made me grow a shell. Mm. So I'd be like, I don't care what you think. You know, I don't care. You know, I don't care. And I cared, but I had to say I didn't care. And so this video, by the time I wrote this, I was 25 or something, and I was working through it from the age of 12, like working through it. And I had come to a place where I finally was a young adult, and I had people around me who were like me. So it wasn't like everybody was different, and then I was the only girl who had bell bottoms on. Like, it was, you know, I had
right,
friends
right.
bell bottoms. My friends had braids in their hair, and there were people like me, and I saw them as cool, and I saw them as beautiful. So then it was like, there's nothing wrong with me. Like, all this stuff they said, that stuff wasn't true. I love myself regardless of what you say, but that was, like, childhood stuff.
Yeah.
You know, then there's, like, the woman stuff and the real life stuff, and that's why this next album is called Worthy, because I'm learning a deeper lesson about who I am.
Yeah, worth it. I always use the word resilience. That's what I feel.
That's one of my favorite words.
But worthiness, the value of self-worth. That's a teaching some people have to work on all of their lives. So I wondered, what does India do now when someone says or tweets something mean-spirited? Because, you know, that's going to happen. It's part of being on the social media radar.
I healed myself of that. People say things all the time still, like all the time. Somebody said something yesterday, all the time. And I just make a joke back and leave it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who you're talking to. And that sometimes if people go really far, I go, read these essays and then tweet me. You could call me if you read these essays. And we can have a real conversation, but don't play. And like, I'm done with that.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm done with that.
Oh, good.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's...
Please.
But I'm so happy to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes a while to get there and to really own it and believe it. Because sometimes we say, oh, it doesn't matter. And it still does. But to get, and I see that with you. India's strength, it comes from within. And it comes from those she reaches out to, as we've heard. But India's sense of self, her courage, has also been guided by an icon in the music world, as well as someone very close to her. We're going to hear about that in a minute. And later, India describes something very personal when she answers an unexpected question in our Blink Don't Think Fishbowl game. Ooh, how I love that game. But now, real quick, I'm going to bring back my friend Linda. You know, I care deeply about sharing the message of everybody's got something. There's resiliency in all of us. I can't state that enough. You just got to believe, whatever your circumstances may be, whatever they are, you matter. Your life matters. And that's why Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center is the only sponsor of my podcast, because they're on the same page about that. So here's Linda to tell us a little more about their work.
When you're faced with cancer, you feel hopeless, helpless, lost. But every new day is a better day to beat cancer, because each and every day, Memorial Sloan Kettering has better research, treatment, and care than the day before. Every day, making what was impossible yesterday possible today. More science, less fear. Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Learn more at mskcc.org/morescience.
So as we heard, India Arie has gone through difficult, soul-searching times. But she's also been very fortunate to have some amazing mentors. And one of them, well, she's someone who knows India like nobody's business.
You often talk about your mom, and I just beam when I talk about your mama, yeah. too. And you have a very close relationship. Yeah. She's your stylist and all that.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that kind, especially being so close and working so close together. Yeah. How have you all made it work?
Oh, how have we made it work?
For mother, daughter,
can't
mother,
see, I roll
daughter.
My eyes.
Because you're a daughter.
And yeah, because I'm the daughter.
We roll our eyes. Mom. That's right.
I have to give credit to my mom because that's what I was talking about, the oneness earlier. Like, when you're young, you think your parents are supposed to have all the answers and that they're supposed to get it right and they're supposed to help you and they're supposed to be perfect. But you grow up and you realize your parents are just, they're a soulmate. They are a soulmate. They're somebody whose life you were born to be together. You go through this journey together. You teach each other things. You hurt each other sometimes. You learn things from each other. That's what soulmates are. And your parents are a soulmate. Mm-hmm. And my mom, because we are so close, she hurts me the most. She teaches me the most. She heals me the most. She supports me the most, you know, because she's like a soulmate. And so I give my mother credit because as I go through my journey and I, like I was talking about that Maya Angelou, where I'm learning that I have to, what I want for myself is to be authentic. Learning that, my mother knows I'm on that journey. And so sometimes I have to talk about her. And sometimes I have to say things about my early 20s that she didn't know I did or didn't know I went through. And I have to say these things because I have to, because holding things in makes me sick. And she knows this about me. And so when I have to talk about her or anything that might hurt her or might scare her, my mother will always say, before the Super Soul session, she didn't know what I was going to say. And she said, I don't care what you say. I don't care if you throw me under the bus. I'm going to be in the front row with my hands up in the air because, you know, I support my Reese cup. She called me Reese cup. I support my Reese cup. And she doesn't have to say that to me because I know she's like that with me.
Okay, so maybe you just think India has an amazing mom, which is true. But there's also something going on here that reflects all the hard work India did to heal herself. And in the process, she discovered not just the key to a healthy relationship with her mom, but what's important in any relationship. And this is it.
She forgives me. I forgive her of anything. And so when I think about a place of a parent and how they really are supposed to be a protector, they're not perfect, but my mother really is. She does play the right role, I feel like, in our relationship by being a lot of times the bigger person. And when I have to be the bigger person, she lets me do that without, like, demolishing our relationship, because, you know, it's hard being a mother and a daughter.
Yeah, it is.
And she's never one time been mad at me about anything that I ever said about her or anything that I ever hid from her. And then she found out in front of 1,000 people. She's never one time got upset ever. One time she got worried and said, can we talk about this when we get home? Of course we could talk about it. That's all she said. And we talked about it later and it was fine. My mom is a good person and a good mom.
Dare I say, unconditionally?
Because I am a queen. That's my girl.
she loves you unconditionally.
She loves me unconditionally.
Yes.
We got in an argument on a video set one time about something, and like it was like pressure because it was money and time. And I was like, I just don't want my hair like this. Like, I don't want it. And my mom pulled me to the side, and she's like, I don't care if you put a pair of white underwear on your head. I'm going to be there to support you. You know that. And I was like, I know. Now, what do you want? I just want this scarf, and I want that. And she went and got it, and it was cool. Like, everybody else was mad. They were, you know, everybody else but her.
Yeah.
Like, if I really did wear a pair of white underwear on my head, she would love me unconditionally. That's my girl.
All right, so we've got mom as number one support system. But get this. It was also India's mom who first introduced India to an icon in American music, the musical genius, Stevie Wonder, who would become not only a major influence in India's life, but a really loyal friend.
Your mom.
Yeah.
She sang.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Stevie. Open for Stevie.
Yep. As a teenager. They're both teenagers.
Right. And I know you've...
The cycles of life are real.
Well, he has been very present in different stages of your life.
Yeah.
In fact, on India's first album, she wrote a kind of love letter to Stevie called Wonderful, a brilliant mix of Stevie's lyrics and India's own words. Here's a little bit of it.
You have touched my
What has he meant to you? What does he mean to you?
He means the possibility of being able to put a spiritual message inside of popular music. I didn't want to sound like him, but I wanted to do that like him. And he means family to me somehow.
Him knowing my mother as a teenager, and it's just, and you know, some of my cousins know his family, and it just feels like family. And then also spiritual family, because he's someone that I resonate with. I like his music. I love his music. I adore his music. But his energy and the way he moves through the world, and he's like my tribe.
Oh, I like that.
Like my type of people.
Yeah.
And so for him to embrace me like that feels like a blessing that I could never ever even considered, but also feels natural. Like he just feels like my people. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to connect. And he also means, because the music industry really can be as dark as people say. Like, if you ever watch any biographies, stories about the music industry, or unsung or behind the music, it's for real.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like Hollywood. It's for real.
Mm.
And he's been a protective force. He's handed me so much. And just because he loves me and he loves what I do. And that's important, because I'm, you know, in this industry, we're used to people trying to get what you have instead of to give you things. And now that I've been in the industry for 15 years, in the very beginning, he told me, always embrace everyone. He would always say, just embrace them. Because there's always, like, every 15 years or 10 years, somebody who sounds like Stevie Wonder comes out every 10 years. And he's like, I always just embrace them because they love me. And I need, instead of trying to be in competition, embrace. And I never forgot that. That's my first year going to the Grammys.
That's a good lesson. That's a good lesson.
And now after 15 years of being in the industry, I hear people who are influenced by me. And I'm like, loving it. I never considered that. I wanted to make an impact, and I would like to be somebody's icon or whatever. I would say those things, but I didn't know what it would feel like. But then to like see somebody like a Tori Kelly or Jonathan McReynolds or people who like really are influenced by me, it makes me so happy. But he, and really, if I was gonna just say what Stevie Wonder means to me, like to me, he's joy. If we had to put like a word on his archetype, it's joy. That smile, that music. You know,
all of that.
He taught me. And it's funny because when I'll be in deep in myself and going through stuff, he'll be like, I'll stop. Like we hear Oprah talk about Maya Angelou says, stop it now.
With Stevie
will be like, stop. I'll stop whining. I'm like, Stevie helps me to see things in a whole different ways. Like he really does. I mean, he took me on the Songs in the Key of Life tour.
I remember.
It was like, full circle life moment. Not just because I love his music, but the family, the songs, what the songs meant to me, that it was came out the year I was born. Now I'm with him, and he asked me, of all the people in the world, me, to join him on this tour. He's like everything.
you referred to him as your tribe.
Yeah.
Your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yes.
So he came to you because you have to be in a place to accept somebody like that. So that's his reflection of you. What you've said about Stevie is a reflection of you. You've attracted that. And for the people that you mentioned and others who, and I'm so happy to hear you say that, because especially it's very, very competitive right now, of course, in any industry.
Sure is.
And music industry, because we have a lot of musicians that come on Good Morning America. I'm sorry we make y'all sing so early.
I just stay up.
But you could tell those that are really comfortable in their own skin. I hate to use that phrase, but that they, and those that are.
Oh, because you see a lot.
I see. And then when the morning, they can't hide it. It is. Right. There's no hiding it.
Your skin is so thin because you're tired.
Right. So I'm happy to hear you say.
I thought about it that way.
Oh my gosh.
You're not even awake enough to put on your mask yet.
I
can't imagine what you see.
Oh my gosh.
I can only imagine what you see.
That could be a whole nother book, but I wouldn't do that because I'm Southern and I don't, you know.
So some people feel edgy and competitive.
No, Southern,
some
we don't.
Some people feel warm and open and like loving for the music.
Exactly.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. I see. Yeah.
You know, as India and I talked, I kept thinking about how wise she'd been as a young woman. Her lyrics almost predicting what was going to happen in her life.
Certain songs just stand out that way, like this one in particular.
Little Things, Little Things. I think it was prophetic in many ways.
I read some of the lyrics to India. I wasn't going to sing. I read them to prove my point.
When you quest for fortune and fame, don't forget about the simple things.
Yeah.
And then running around in circles, lost my focus, lost sight of my goals.
I do this for the love of music, not for the glitter and gold. I got everything that I pray for, even a little more. When I asked to learn humility, this is what I was told. It's the little thing, little thing.
I got chills.
I'm singing so quietly.
No. But do you think you were seeing what a hard time you were going to face?
I could have never predicted what life was going to bring.
Lost sight of my goals.
I mean, I already had been through that to a smaller extent, but I think what was happening was a microcosm of the bigger lesson. Because, you know, you have to go through things that, like Oprah says, the spirit will whisper and then they'll knock the whole wall down, whatever she said. I think the wall being knocked down was coming, but it was like many, many years after that. I guess maybe I would call it prophetic.
It was. I was just, you know, because I listened to your music and I was listening to those lyrics again and where you are now. And I was like, this was a while ago. It was your second.
Long time ago. Yeah. It was probably like 27. Do you know I'm 40 now?
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. Girl, do not. We're not going to talk about that.
I'm not going there about age. It's a tactic I've learned well. When you want to get off a certain topic, you know what you do? You just turn the conversation to another one. And the truth is, I really wanted to know about a certain song that perfectly sums up India's healing after her 4-year hiatus. Break the Shell. Break the Shell.
That's probably one of my favorite songs.
Is it?
Yeah. Break the Shell and
Why?
I Am Light.
Why?
I think it's a really, forgive me for tooting my horn, but I mean it. I think it's one of my best written songs.
Child, it's time to break the shell. Life's gonna hurt.
I reached my goal with that song.
You,
I said what I meant. I reached my goal. And to come out of that hard time with the gift of that song is everything. It's everything.
You broke that shell. Are you flying? Are you flying now?
I've learned that there's always another shell to break and another flight to take. But there was that big stuff of like self-worth. When I broke that shell, now I know there's always another shell to break, another flight to take.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like just second-guess myself, because I would love to feel even better about myself. I never felt better about myself than I do now. I've never had a better life, a better lifestyle, a better feeling in the morning. Mm. I never felt healthier and all that stuff. But if there's more, I'm ready for it. And I broke a big shell, whatever else there is, because now I have other more internal goals.
There are more shells to be broken.
There's more shells to break, more flights to take.
Hey.
So I did break that shell and I'm ready for more. And what I really learned is that I can break the shell and I can break through. And it's not like this is the end because something's really hard. Like I could do this again. I can do it next time, be a different lesson, but I have muscle now.
Yeah. You know, my mama said, make your mess your message. What did not demolish me simply polished me. That's yours. Very similar.
Yeah.
That is how, because everybody's got something. And I've often said, if everybody threw their something in a big old bowl and you saw what everybody else had, you take yours back.
I have a friend who's very Southern who says that too.
Yeah, you take yours back.
Yeah.
Because you always think that what you're going through is more than anybody else. And then you realize everybody's going through something.
What did not demolish me simply polished me. Now the clearer I can see. Yeah.
And people have to understand that. They have to embrace that. And it takes courage to believe the best is yet to come. It takes courage to believe the best is yet to come.
Dang, you know I'm a Libra, right? So I always see everything from two sides. It takes courage to believe the best is yet to come. And it takes courage to keep living knowing you're going to be down on your face again.
Something's going to hurt again. You're going to rise up from it again. Something's going to hurt again. You're going to rise up from it again. Something's going to hurt again. You're going to rise up again. There's always another shell to break, another flight to take. It's not going to stop as long as you're alive. Because I understand now that avoiding pain is not the point. The point is to live. It's to be whole, to be authentic. For me, these are my points, to be authentic, and to be whole, and to keep moving. That's my lesson of this last 2 years. Like, just keep moving. Just keep moving. Even if it's a little movement, keep moving. But you keep moving.
Breathe.
Left foot, right foot, breathe.
You know, Tony Robbins, somebody that we both like so much, he says success leaves clues. Mm-hmm. And you were successful in breaking. And so now it gives you confidence to go like, you know what? I can break another shell.
And you know what? I don't run from it anymore.
See there?
You think the goal is to avoid pain? I don't have that goal anymore.
Right.
If it comes up, I deal with it. Because if you don't, then God's going to have to knock the wall down. You're still going to have to deal with it. So do it sooner. But to me, that's what this whole thing has taught me, that breakdown, breakthrough, break the shell, elevate and fly. Just do it, because you know you're going to land on your feet.
Yeah.
You know you're going to land on your feet. And so I've taken so many chances. Now it's not even like a big deal. I don't even have big stories to tell. I'm like, I did this, I did that. Because now I just do it.
There are no mistakes. There's chances you've taken. Come on, girl. So remember earlier when I said we'd talk more about India's album Songversation? Well, I asked India to explain it. Because creating Songversation was one of the big chances she decided to take after her 4 years away. Songversation is music combined with the sharing of ideas through talking and writing. And it is all about helping us learn to take better care of ourselves and each other. As India explained, the idea of Songversation is part prayer, part meditation, and
action and part fellowship.
Yeah.
My goal was to be able to talk about basic spiritual truths with people who don't live like that at all. And so one of the things I say to people is you have a mental, spiritual, physical, and emotional body. And you have to pay attention to all of those things each day. It's like brushing but not flossing. You can have a cat, you know what I mean?
Or whatever.
And so my Songversation practice is about mind, body, the physical body, the emotional body. So the physical body, the emotional, the spiritual, and the mental body. Each day. Wow. And so fellowship, action, meditation, prayer, like it's all parts of those. And it's not, and I don't mean to make it sound as time consuming as it can sound, but it's just like a minute. You could say a minute. You could take 4 minutes, 1 minute for each part of yourself or whatever. When you work out, that's your 10 minutes for that. And I have realized that because I'm an introvert. Like, and the way that it's described by some people is like having a sensitive neurological system. And so you prefer other things. And so I'm like a natural introvert. But the way to get myself ready, moving, to be out with people is to pay attention to each part of myself. And then I'm like, I call it starting my engine. Then my engine started because I can live all in my head, all in my heart, be dreamy, and then say hi to somebody and look like a weirdo. Like, hi, like dizzy, you know, like I can do that.
Right.
But then I like to be able to be in my body.
Mm-hmm.
So
own it.
Own me.
Own
all of me.
Well, we end with something we call, it's in the fishbowl.
Oh.
Don't blink, don't think.
Okay.
Don't blink, don't think. It's the first thing that comes, and you can do what comes to your heart.
Okay.
What's there? So you just pick out, I do this, it's a fishbowl.
I like this one.
Okay.
Oh, what songs are on your playlist right now?
Oh my gosh.
Okay. First of all, there's only one song of mine that I ever listened to, ever. And it's my song, I Am Light.
I'm not the mistakes that I have made, or any of the things that caused me pain. I am not the pieces of the dream I left behind. I am light.
But I wrote that song for myself. I literally, my godmother had cancer. And so I was like, I just want to write songs for her. And then I wrote I Am Light for me and her. And so it was like for us. I played it before I came here. I play it all the time. And then there's another song. It's very rare that music becomes a part of my spiritual practice. And I was going through something hard. And I was just like, okay, how do I get my power back from this? And I was in the shower. And my favorite contemporary artist right now is a man named Gregory Porter. Oh, my, he's the best. He's the best. He's the best. He has the best songs. He has the best voice. He's the best. He won 2 Grammys last year.
You know, he's hearing this right now, and he's like, Indy, are we?
Oh, he already knows.
Okay.
There's
okay,
like 20
okay.
people who are like, India told me about you. India told me about you. He's going to laugh when he hears that.
Okay.
And so he has a song called No Love Dying.
I haven't heard that.
I was going through this crazy, like, I was just like in it and like trying to figure out, again, like how to get my power back and heal myself. Because I think the only thing you can do is heal yourself. Nobody can do it for you. That's how I feel. And I'm in the shower and the song comes on my playlist. There will be no love that's dying here. Man, the bird that flew into my window simply lost his way. Anyway, I just, that song came on and I cried so hard and I got out of the shower and I was fine. I was like, oh, I'm good.
See?
And so I played No Love Dying a lot. And I have a new niece. Her name is Harper.
Aww.
Harper Marie Simpson. Mm. She's 19 months. And we all have songs in my family. Like, I have a song my mother wrote for me called India Song. And then, this is how our family is.
Right.
And so I was like, I want to write Harper a song. But it doesn't work like that. Like, it has to just come up naturally. And so James Taylor and Stevie Wonder are my favorite music. And James Taylor has a song called Sarah Maria. And the song goes, Sarah Maria, yeah, 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 yeah. And I heard it, and I was like, Harper Marie, yeah, 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 yeah. So I play that song a lot because it reminds me of Harper. And so she can't talk yet. And so anytime anybody says, say Auntie India, she goes, yeah, 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 yeah. And so now she's starting to sing. And I can call her and go, Harper. And she goes, yeah, 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 on key.
Ooh.
And now she's going, Harpie. And I'm like, okay, she's singing. Oh. So then I made her a new video where I yell it, yeah, 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 loud. And she goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I listened to Sarah Maria. I listened to No Love Dying. I listened to I Am Light. Yeah, I need some faster songs. Maybe
it'll
make me exercise if I put some songs on.
You look good, girl. You never cease to amaze me. And once again, I will walk away. I won't remember everything we said today. I won't remember everything we did. I will not forget this feeling.
And I
thank you for your new music.
Thank you.
I'm so excited about that.
Thank you
for the theme for Everybody's Got Something podcast.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you're doing this.
Thank you. And thank you, Indy, for sharing your something with us.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Yay!
That was so much fun! Oh, where does the time go? That is our show for today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and download our next episode of Everybody's Got Something. Plus, we'd really be grateful if you'd write a review on iTunes. Meanwhile, let us hear from you. We want to hear your story. We know you got something. Write to us at robinpodcast.com. A huge thanks to my podcast pod, John, Steve, Josh, Andy, Evelyn, Alex, Gabe, Danielle, Rennie, Ida, Jade, and our devoted editor, Debbie. Mwah! So now, I'm going to end by quoting my friend India's song. Let's live for each other, love one another, stand together in the light, and yes, remember to always be kind. Until next time, hot mess still blessed. I'm Robin Roberts.
Robin Roberts, Everybody's Got Something, is brought to you by Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. More science, less fear. Learn more at mskcc.org/more science. That's mskcc.org/more science.